May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a remarkable scripture, because they're all remarkable. This is in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Well, it's just verse 9. Galatians 4, 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? And the elemental things is this thing of trying to please God, trying to earn God's pleasure, trying to be righteous or earn righteousness before God by keeping the law, by outward performance, instead of an inward reality that results in outward performance. But I love this scripture. It says, but now that you have come to know God, and both of these words know here is the word to know intimately or really or experientially. But now that you've come to know God, or rather, it's like, let me correct that, to be known by God. You see, the interesting thing about our relationship with the Lord is that when we enter into relationship with Him, we're discovering all about Him. We're going to be discovering all that He is forever and forever and forever. It's part of what's going to make heaven so wonderful. There's never going to be a time when we don't get new slices of His glory, of His beauty. But when we start off this relationship, we're known totally by Him in a very intimate way. He knows everything about us. It's kind of like in 1 John 4, or just 1 John 5 or 4, it says, we love because God first loved us. And most of the time when we think about that, we have a tendency to think about that in a shallow way where because God has affections for us first, we have affections back to Him. Because He loved us first, we love Him back. That's just the way love works. But it means more than that. It means that the God who loves us first, loves us with full knowledge of everything about us. It's not just that He loves us, that changes us to love Him back. It's the fact of who it is that loves us and what He knows about us and yet still loves us fully. That's what causes us to respond in love for Him. Because the more we discover about ourselves, we're often tempted to not even love ourselves. Sometimes we hide because we're afraid if we're transparent around anybody and they discover more about us, they won't love us. And we've experienced, haven't we, in the body of Christ, where you failed or we failed or slipped up or disappointed somebody and they quit loving you. They quit having affection for you. And so our experience in that realm of being known and yet still being loved is a rare thing on the earth. And yet, He starts off this relationship knowing everything about us, more than we know about ourselves, and yet fully loves us. There's a beautiful description of that in Revelation chapter 1. If I can find it. That's at the end, isn't it? Okay. All these things in this verse are descriptions of His kind of love and His passion for intimacy with us. This is Revelation 1, and beginning in verse 13. In the middle of the lampstand was one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet, and girded across his breast was a golden girdle. That would not be good. Girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it was caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. The sound of many waters, it goes back to Psalm 42, deep calling in the deep. The sound of many waters, God's calling us into a place the depth of Him wants to experience and know and us to give the depths of us to Him. Bronze feet. His feet are on fire in pursuit of His love for us. And the eyes of fire, which are sung a lot about in contemporary charismatic worship, just God's passion for us. But it starts off by saying that his hair is white like wool, like snow. The appearance of someone who's ancient, the Ancient of Days. And the idea, therefore, that the more ancient you are, the more wisdom you have, the more knowledge and insight that you have, therefore more maturity that you have. And so God's love for us is both ancient and mature. Again, it's not that we know him, it's that we've been known by him, which is the most important thing. And if we understand that, remember that context in Galatians. It was important to the Apostle Paul, to the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, that the Galatians understood that it'll keep them from going back to living by performance instead of celebrating God's grace, which is what Galatians is all about, the true gospel, living by faith in the grace of God. If you understand that you're actually known by him fully, that'll help you not go back to trying to perform for him. Because there's a big difference between performing by him, being moved by his power, knowing that he loves you, knowing that he fully loves you and fully loves you, and therefore being performed by him, performing by him, then performing for him, trying to earn something instead of living by something he's given to you as a gift that changes you and transforms you. And so, he loves me with ancient wisdom. Nothing is a surprise to him about me or you. You started off with him knowing everything about you, the stuff that's good, the stuff that's bad, all your tendencies towards good, all your tendencies towards bad. He's got it all down. And yet he set his love on you anyway. And if you know that about him, that this is the one who loves you, it does help you know him better, which causes you to love him more. Because if you really know him and know that you've been known by him and yet he's poured out his love and his grace on you, then you know him enough to know, I don't have to go back to that thing where he's mad at me and I'm trying to get him to stop being mad at me by doing it perfect enough. I really can live by faith. The good news is really as good as I thought it was. I hoped it was. He loves me unconditionally. And by his grace, he's imparted everything to me. I mean, I'll read just one little scripture, then we'll quit. Listen to what it says. This one thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing in faith? You just heard in faith what God had done. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you're now being perfected by your self-effort? To see then who continually, as an act of grace, provides you with the Holy Spirit this very moment. And works, the word in most Bibles is translated miracles, but it's actually the word dunamis. Does he who continually provides you with the Spirit and who continually works the power of God, and the word is in you, does he do it by your self-effort, the works of the law, or just by hearing in faith? It's God. It's all a gift. It's all grace from the very beginning. That's the gospel. Our job is to respond in faith. Not earning. Christianity isn't about earning. It's about God bestowing and us receiving. And if you understand what we'll get into, right? I don't deserve it. Man, I messed up. I thought those things again. I said that thing again. I acted this way again. I had that attitude again. Oh, man. And God is like, it'll never change if I don't keep providing you with the Spirit. Just keep receiving my grace. And the power of God will work in you and it'll change. But understand, you can trust me. Because I already knew all this about you and loved you and have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ already. Knowing everything about you. Now, if you'll know that about me, God says, then you'll have come to know me in the most important ways. And you'll better live the Christian life, loving me back. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.